Harold's. This is a good, his was a good introduction for mine. He did an excellent job. I think all the classes and sermons have been excellent this year, like always, but Van's just now is really, really good, and really appreciated that one. And tell you what, sermons get me fired up in classes. Do they, you guys, get you stirred up inside, and you're ready to get out there and start talking to people? And I love hearing sermons, and especially from men who love God and are striving to do the work themselves. And let's look at Revelation 22 and verse 17. It says, "The Spirit and Bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears say, 'Come.' Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." So here we see the Spirit and Bride say, "Come," and let him who hears say, "Come." This is right after Jesus had said in verse 12, "Behold, I am coming soon." And so Christ is coming back, and his reward is with him, and he's going to give to everyone according to what they have done. And so then as the Spirit and Bride say, "Come," we're saying, "Come." And they're saying, "Come," through Christians. Come to Jesus for forgiveness. Come hear the gospel, because Jesus is coming back. And it's up to us to let everyone know about Christ coming back. The world, they don't know that. They might know it in the back of their mind, but they're not thinking of it anyway as much as Christians are. We have it in the forefront of our mind, hopefully. And it's up to us to tell people the good news that they can and must be ready for Jesus coming back. That they can be prepared, and that they don't have to be wanting. They don't have to be the dogs that it talks about in verse 15 that are thrown out. And they can be, in verse 14, "The blessed are those who have washed their robes." And that's what we can do today. So this still is today, isn't it? The Spirit and Bride say, "Come," because there's still the opportunity for people to take the free gift of the water of life. And I think that's interesting how that's a contrast with what's flowing down by the throne of God is the water of life. And Christians, when we become Christians, we are baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. We get our sins washed away in water. So God has it all set up perfectly, and it's amazing how things dovetail and interweave with these topics. So we're going to talk about this topic of come, and how does the Holy Spirit and Bride say come? Well, first of all, by every Christian realizing who's inside of us, which I believe it was Jim Parks who talked about the Holy Spirit, and so he covered that very well. Now, does the Holy Spirit say come through only certain Christians? So some people are exempt, some people can, something like he picks and chooses who will and who won't say come? No, I believe every person who's a Christian, the Holy Spirit's working on us to tell somebody to come hear the gospel. And of course, he doesn't tell the rest to be quiet, shut up, because you might mess up. How many of us have ever thought, "I'm going to mess this up, so I'm going to shut up"? I think probably all of us have had that happen where you think, "I'm going to mess up, so I won't say anything." But actually, we mess up when we focus on ourselves so much. That's what's happening. We're focusing on me. We're focused on my abilities, on my way of talking, and what they're going to think about me. We got to get our focus off of ourselves. We're getting our focus on the Lord. It's about Christ. And we mess up when we shut up, don't we? That's when we mess up. Because Christ and the Holy Spirit can work when we say something. That's the seed that's planted. You might not give them a sermon right on the spot and teach them the plan of salvation right then, but a little seed can be planted and somebody else can come along and even water it. That's another thing about this, the Holy Spirit and Bride say come. We are a team, aren't we? I know that's not in the Bible, it doesn't talk about us being a team, but that's what we are. We're all on the same team. And that's where that envy and jealousy and stuff ruins evangelism. Because people start thinking, "Hey, I've got to be the big shot. I've got to be the guy that teaches, baptizes, and keeps them converted." And you don't have to. You can be the guy that sets up the Bible study, and you're just as important as the guy who conducted it. And it doesn't matter about who's important anyway, does it? All that matters is that people are getting this work done. And because God, he's the one that gets the glory, hopefully, and he will get the glory, and he'll be honored, and people will be saved, and we can see the church move forward with more people becoming Christians and the church growing. The church can't grow spiritually whenever we're not evangelizing. Evangelism, I would say, is the fuel for Christianity. We talked about the oil. I think it was Paul that talked about the oil, running smooth, not complaining. That's part of evangelism. Not complaining is a part of evangelism, because if you're walking around like a grump and a grouch and a complainer, are you going to be thinking about people's souls? No, you're going to be thinking about how rotten of a day you're having, and you're going to be thinking, somebody needs to cheer me up. Somebody needs to evangelize me today, and I can't take time to talk to that person about Christ because I'm having a terrible day today. Well, so we mess up a lot whenever we get so focused on ourselves. We mess up when we think nobody will listen. It's not up to us to decide who will and who won't listen. It's up to us to say, Jesus died for every person. He doesn't want me to be a coward worrying about me. He does want me to be a person who tells everyone about him. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. Now this sermon, this title, at first I thought it was going to be difficult, but the more I thought about it and the more I studied it, boy, I tell you what, this just kept growing on me, and I felt like, you know, I have so much to say, I'm not going to say anything. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Now, primarily, this might be in reference to apostles, but still, he does make his appeal through Christians, doesn't he? Because we carry the message. No, we're not inspired as we go like the apostles were directly, but we have inspiration through the Word of God that we put in our hearts, and we share this with people. This is the inspired Word of God, isn't it? So as we share this with people, we're giving them not our words, we're giving the Word of God, the Almighty Creator's words. And so we need to remember that. God's making his appeal through us. We need to, as we realize who's inside of us, we remember the Holy Spirit isn't just a force. You know, Jim talked about the Holy Spirit is a God, and it's separate from the Word of God. He is a personality of the Godhead, isn't he? And we need to remember that. He is God living in us. We have God inside of us. And I'm not going to go to it, but 1 John 4:13 talks about how we have been given of his Spirit. I'm not going to deal a lot with that, but the next one is the Holy Spirit who prompts us. The Holy Spirit prompts us. He works on us to talk to people. Has that been your experience, that the Holy Spirit prompts you to talk to people? Well, let's look at Galatians 5:17. Galatians 5:17. "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want." Now, a lot of times what the sinful nature wants to do, it's not always just going out here and sinning like awful sins, you might say, or obvious sins, but it's this being quiet sin, this idea of, well, I just can't say anything, and it's not really a sin anyway, and thinking that that's not a problem, that quenching the Holy Spirit in evangelism is an okay sin. I don't believe it is. Still quenching the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit's prompting you to talk to somebody, and you're telling him, no, I don't want to hear it right now, you know, it's not the right time, I know better than you. You know what? There's a conflict going on, isn't there? A lot of times we want the Holy Spirit to quit working on us right then. Because our sinful nature's kicking in, that flesh, the desires of the flesh, the cowardly spirit within us is coming out, that fear of men. And then if you look down in Galatians 5:22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." And so again, if we work on applying these fruits of the Spirit, working on them, every one of these fruits of the Spirit that I can see is used in evangelism. Every one of them. Starting off with love. Love is the most primary drive within us that we develop to talk to people, isn't it? Our love for Christ and our love for that soul. Because we love the Lord and we know that Christ died for that person, so I want to tell them. And so we develop those things. We don't want to get angry with that person, so we have to have patience when they slam the door in our face. You know, it might want to get angry at them. You have to have patience, say, okay, I'm going to go to the next door and talk to the next guy. Maybe it'll be a herald behind that door. I like it when guys talk about how they got converted. That tells me, hey, you know what? My next door neighbor might be Harold, so I better go talk to him. But see, a lot of times we think, they won't listen anyway. Or maybe I've tried before and they didn't listen. But you know what? Maybe it's time to talk to them again. Try again. So we keep going. The Holy Spirit gives us boldness. And I believe it was Acts 4, 29, 31, Harold talked about how we can get boldness. The early church prayed, and then they were filled with the Spirit, and they spoke the Word of God boldly. So on prayer meeting nights, we need to be praying and praying through to God. Have some fired up prayer meetings where we're shaken when we leave, and we're fired up to go out and talk to people about Christ. And we're ready to conquer sin in our lives. Of course, that's very important as well. All these things that we've heard up here at camp are essential to evangelism, if you think about it. Prayer, without prayer, you're not going to be evangelizing. And prayer is very important in evangelism. We need some boldness, don't we? We don't want to be a bunch of cowards sitting in the corner thinking that a bunch of defeatists, a bunch of pessimistic, negative people that say nothing's going to work, nothing's going to happen. Too many times people talk about what won't work instead of just getting out there and working. And if they would handle their jobs that way, they'd find they wouldn't have a paycheck. So we just need to get going with this. It does take work. It takes sweat. It takes labor. That's what evangelism is about. And then the Holy Spirit, who we're not to quench. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. You probably all know this one. It says, don't put out the Spirit's fire, is how the NIV says it. And I like how it says that. You know, don't put out the Spirit's fire. The Holy Spirit works on us to have a fire inside of us, a drive, and some enthusiasm for lost souls. Not this idea that, hey, I don't need to talk to him. And the New King James says, do not quench the Spirit. So don't quench him. Don't cut him off. Let's also look at Galatians 6:7. Galatians 6:7, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that being good is talking to the lost souls of men good. Even when it might not be. 20 and verse 9 also, which I'm just going to read. I have this one in my notes. So, but if I say I will not mention him,